Welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Vedo with you for the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to get to your tweets as we're going to preview Game 2 of the preseason. Giants are in Cleveland. They're going to go up against the Browns tonight. Kickoff 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have our WFAN Giants Radio Network pregame show starting at 7.05 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to get into the competitions, the player matchups to watch, as well as the injury report. And let's start there, Jeff.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football, correct,
which is,
yes.
Yeah, Monday Night preseason football. Hopefully people can stay up past the second half to continue to watch the game.
Well, yeah. More importantly, us as well.
Oh,
I
we will
say.
Be there.
Yes.
We'll be watching it. That's for sure. We'll be in the studio tonight. And as all the other crew is on the road, Lance and I are so lucky that we do not have to get on planes and travel with the team.
Yes,
so,
correct. That is the benefit of enjoying the season, but also the comfort of staying.
Now, the only disadvantage of the preseason games, although tonight it's an 8 o'clock game, so I look at is since Lance does not own a car, so he makes his way around through public transit.
Well, and my chauffeur too.
Let's, and your chauffeur a little Uber and here and this and that.
Okay, yes, correct.
But for me,
yes,
I have to come into the city tonight and during the preseason, of course. During the regular season, when the games are at 1 o'clock, there is free parking in front of the WFAN studios down on Hudson Street, and you can park right there. But during the week, or during the during the preseason, on a Monday, there's no free parking. So I have to find a place to park.
A little
and
more
by
heavy
the way,
lifting. Yes.
Those meters run by the hour in front of the building, and it stops at 7. So I will be on the air at 7.
So you have
so I
to.
Must try to find a parking space at around 6 maybe and put some quarters in there and
well,
then not
in good shape
but
then
not have to come back out because it ends at 7.
Correct. Well, I think you'll be in good shape where you could probably
and
fill
knock
it
on
up.
Wood, I have not got a $100 parking ticket in the city recently. I've gotten them before, but so anyways, just
well, you have a set routine.
I
so,
do.
I mean at this point you've perfected the craft.
I do and that's the ex player in me. Is we are like, you know, we're routine.
Rigid, yes.
We are so routined about this and that. So, but I like to get into this, I get into the city a little bit early. So, and it's a beautiful studio, by the way. And Lance and I, we run the studio on the Giants games. Everybody.
Oh, that's right. Yes. They lay out the red carpet. It's tremendous.
The only thing we do not have is our own studio. So we get to be in the Boomer Carton studio and all that good stuff.
Or Francesa studio.
Once in a while we're in there.
Correct,
and we get to see all the cast of characters coming and going in there. We see Eddie Coleman. We see Jody Mack. We never see Mike Renza. I mean, I never see him.
Sometimes we've overlapped, but
a little
it's
bit
very
on
rare.
Sunday mornings,
yes, exactly.
But it's fun. So, so we will be doing the pre and the post game for everybody on. Is it on FAN?
It is on FAN. Yes, okay. The Yankees are not playing tonight.
Okay, so we will be broadcasting all over the place, and so if you want to join us. But right now, we're on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and we're talking Giants and Cleveland Browns, which going into this moment right now, know a little bit about the Cleveland Browns, but not much, because in preseason, it's just a preseason game. We don't really, you know, study the opposing team, because we don't really know half the roster that's even on it. Although the Cleveland Browns have got a lot of young players.
A lot of changes,
oh,
too.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they really turned that roster over.
Yep. Yep. So I think as we come into the game tonight, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say maybe questions, but just I think that, you know, what are the Giants going to get out of game number two? We're going to see Eli Manning play for the first time this preseason. We know that, along with some other guys that didn't play last week. So that's a good thing. And, you know, lots to talk about as far as improvement and heading forward, because really when you look at it, guys, we're getting close. You know, we're getting close. The Giants have what's going to be three games in how many days now? I mean,
less than 2 weeks. Saturday against the Jets, and then the following Thursday.
Three games,
in
I think,
England.
In 11 days now. So I think that that's and really, Saturday, the Giants had a Friday or Saturday? They had a really long padded practice, and it was – actually, it was Friday, I believe, because I think it was raining. And John and I did the show, and we were walking out, and we were really surprised that the Giants were out on the regular field because it was wet and it was raining. But I think that McAdoo wanted to – that really was going to be the last really bulk big practice before the season starts, at least until the end of preseason. What I mean is because you got all these games crunched into 11 days, so you're not going to be able to have a big, huge practice. So I think he wanted to work outdoors with all three of the fields being available there, because when they go inside, there's not a lot of room in that practice facility, in the indoor practice space. One field, and everybody's crunched in everywhere. You don't get a lot of the work done that you want to. So I think he wanted to be outside and get a lot of work so that they can start to evaluate some of these players. You know, there's no longer a cut, which would be coming up next week, which I think is we've talked about it before, that which is good for a lot of the players that are still on the bubble, and some of the younger guys that still have a chance to prove themselves. They get to play in that last preseason game where they wouldn't normally. They would be on the street.
Because they're going 90-53 as opposed to that 75 cut in the middle,
right,
which we're
yeah.
so used to. So that means in all likelihood there's going to be a lot of players that are going to be cut simultaneously, which means you could probably put together an entirely new league with all the players that are going to be out on the market
no
after that last preseason
no question.
Game.
And really back in the day there was three cuts. It was down to 75, then to 60, and then to 53. By the time you got to the 60 – you know, you're really only talking about seven guys now that are going to get cut that aren't going to be on the team. And of those seven, you know, a majority of them end up landing on your practice roster. But that 75 guy, you know, that was the one that was the big one. You know, you get rid of all the people that are just camp legs and camp people and that kind of stuff.
So. Well, but even more nerve-wracking from the player's perspective, Jeff, because you survived the 75. Now you have to survive the 60.
Yeah, but
and
that's
then
okay.
Hope you get to
but
the 53.
But that's okay. I would rather have that nerve-wracking feeling than being at home eating Cheerios in the morning when I should be in the practice field. So that's it. And that's just the rough side of sports. It's just, you know, not everybody can make it. And really, when you talk about the National Football League, it's, you know, there's a fine line between one guy and the other. It's just, you know, a lot of times it's there's so many factors that go into a guy making a football team. Particularly, we always talk about special teams on the lower end of the roster. That's kind of a given. There's also money involved in it. There's also guys that, you know, the Giants, and I think they're going to be up against this, that there are some guys that they don't want to cut because there's going to be another team in their division that's going to pick them up. And I think particularly in this sense, I think the defensive line is a possibility that, you know, you look at Kerry Wynn and you look at Aquara, you look at Avery Moss, you look at a lot of guys that are capable of making this football team, but they just don't have enough room. And you look at Dallas Cowboys. They need help on the defensive line.
Suspension.
Don't
injuries.
Be surprised if all of a sudden one of those guys goes over to one of the other teams in the division.
Well, and we've seen that happen before where a player is claimed, especially when you know you're going up against that team in week one.
Yeah,
you purposely
yeah.
claim them so maybe you can get
sure.
some type of intel about the scheme.
Well, intel, if he's a young guy, he probably doesn't know anything. You know, he's barely
correct,
learning
if
it
it's
anyway.
A new guy, but
they
even
get some
if
insight.
It's a young guy,
yeah,
still
absolutely.
He's been
well,
in the playbook.
Know,
he has some
and it may not be
it.
So yeah. much as like the X's and the O's. It could be as easy as sitting down with that player and say, "Hey, listen, I know that you went up against Eric Flowers for the last 6 weeks. You know, what do you tell me about Eric
yeah.
Flowers? What do you tell me about Justin Pugh or something? You know, or vice versa. So that's kind of some intel you could get. But the fact is that if he's a veteran and he's on that opening day roster. One of the benefits of being a veteran on an opening day roster is that you are guaranteed your salary if you're released after that. So you don't want to bring a veteran in and get him on the opening day roster to get some small intel and then have
and
to
then
pay
you're
him his salary.
Him, correct, a few days later.
And for those of you that don't know about this, this is a little secret in the league. And as ex-players you, and even the guys that are in the league now, we call it double dipping. And the word double dipping is not talking about an Oreo cookie inside of a chocolate milk or something. We are talking about the same scenario I just told you. So a guy gets on the opening day roster and then maybe week three they have to cut him. He's guaranteed his contract with that team that cut him. And then all of a sudden a week later another team picks him up and pays him, you know, another contract. He gets both of those. He gets double dipped.
Best of both worlds.
The best.
Yes.
Now, you can only do that one time in your career. So you have to be careful. So a lot of guys won't do it. They'll do it at the end of their career, but not at the beginning. So
they'll save it till the last second.
Although
in the event that
way
comes
the
up.
NFL is, I mean, basically, I heard a stat coming in here this morning that there is 38% of the players from the 2012 draft that are still in the league. So 38%. Okay. So if I'm a young guy and I'm going to double dip, I'm double dipping right away. I'm getting my money. Especially, I'm not going to wait till the end of my career. I'm going to get it when I can, because you never know.
Yeah, I mean, 38%, that's not a huge percentage when you think about all those guys that are in the draft,
absolutely,
which also puts in perspective how the fact that the draft is an inexact science. We're 5 years removed from that draft, Jeff, and now only 38% of those players are still actually playing in the league.
And that was going into this year. So you know that that number is obviously going to go – it's going to be less.
Because they may not all make rosters.
Yeah, that might go down to 28%, you know. So, yeah, it's in the lifespan of an NFL player is, you know, 3.5 years, I think, is the number. So it's not very long.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We're going to get to your phone calls here in a second. Just want to go over some news and notes. In terms of injuries, because that's the big thing to look at heading into this game, when Ben McAdoo spoke to the media on Saturday, this is what we got some clarification on. Eli Apple's dealing with an ankle injury. He's questionable. Wide receivers Dwayne Harris and Darius Powell are probably not going to play because you got Harris with the upper body injury, Powell with the hamstring injury, and then linebacker Keenan Robinson is back in NFL concussion protocol after he was cleared and he took part in practice. So unlikely you're going to see those last three players that I named. Apple, I think they're probably going to be conservative with it, Jeff, and I don't think he's going to play either. Eli Manning, as you mentioned, he will see action in games two and games three in all likelihood, and they'll rest him in game four. Then you look at some of the other players that didn't play, Jeff, the first time around, specifically Jason Pierre-Paul and DRC. I think they're going to try to get some reps for those two guys today.
Oh, there's no question. Absolutely, because the bulk of their preseason work will be next week where the veterans, you know, the starters play into the second half. You like to get the starters in your second game a quarter, maybe a little. And really, it all depends on situation. So if the offense goes out there in the first quarter and they've got some good drives and they come away with some points and they get some things done that they really want to accomplish, you won't see them in the second quarter. If the offense goes out there and absolutely is three and out, three and out, and three and out, you're going to see those guys in the second quarter. You got to get a little bit of chemistry going, and vice versa with the defense. If the defense really does well, then you start to spot people here and there, taking them out and this and that. But, you know, it's a build-up to the regular season. The third game, as we always know, is the most important because the starters are in there for a long time. So when you look at your season tickets and you say, hey, I've got the third game, who are they playing? That's the game you're probably going to go to because you're going to see the pretty much who's going to be your starting guys for the season.
The dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal,
essentially, is what they call that.
Yeah, because they want to be able – there are some new guys on the team. Most likely they're all veterans, but the fact is that they're with a new team and they want to make sure that we understand how you go into the locker room at halftime, how we make our adjustments as starters with the coordinators. And then, you know, when teams come in at halftime, regular season off is a little bit more than the preseason, but they'll come in, everybody will go to the bathroom, they'll get some water, they'll get to whatever, and then all of a sudden, there's only 12 minutes. So by the time you do that, and then you meet with your coordinators, the coordinators go over some adjustments very quickly, and then they're back out on the field. So they want to go over that dress rehearsal on how to get together at halftime with the players on defense and offense, and then the specialists, you know, the specialists. Literally, we used to come in, if we had to go to the bathroom, we'd grab something, maybe a banana, and then we were out again because we have to go out there and start warming up again. So the worst was when we were in Arizona. And then at the old ASU stadium, the locker room was literally – it was so far away that the NFL allowed them 3 extra minutes. So our halftimes were 15 minutes opposed to 12 because of the walk.
Jeez.
It was long.
Well,
And the funny thing about it is both teams were walking together after the half. So we're all walking to the same
because
area.
The way that the locker rooms were
exactly,
set up in the tunnel.
Yeah, so you're sitting there having a conversation with the guy you're trying to, beat the you-know-what out of.
And, always nice.
Yeah.
The guy that sacked you, drug you through the ground is
exactly
the guy that you got to be next to and route back to the locker room.
So really, I think when we talk about the guys that are going to play today, I think, the starters will be in there. I think you want to see Eli get some work with the receivers, especially Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
I think that I'd like to see a couple passes to Ellison. I think that, he did catch
three
passes last week.
It was involved last week, yeah.
I think that you want to see Evan Engram get some attempts from Eli. And also, me personally, I want to see that running game get going. And I also want to see Wayne Gallman catch the football out of the backfield. I think that he's got a really nice knack for that. And I think it's going to be imperative that the Giants try to find a way to use him to his skill set. We obviously know we got Vereen. That can catch the ball. I think all these running backs can catch the football. But more importantly, I want to see that offensive line and that running back, the running game work tonight with a little bit of success. then we're not sitting here talking tomorrow or in the next day about, you know, a 3.0 rushing average, and then we talk about the same thing. Let's have something happen positively so that we can look forward to that third game and see, okay, had a little success in the second. Now let's see, build on it in the third and talk a little bit more about the successful running game rather than a non-successful.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the offensive line in the running game, because when Mike Sullivan, the offensive coordinator, spoke to the media late last week, Jeff, he was quoted as saying, "We go as far as the offensive line," essentially, when he was talking about the play of the offense.
Sure.
And, you know, that was the first time that he had an opportunity to reflect on what he's seen from the offensive line. And he said, listen, it's been mixed results. There's a lot more room for improvement, a lot more work to do. But he did say that they need to take it upon themselves to really set the tone for this season. So, I mean, it's not as if no member of the coaching staff realizes the importance of the offensive line, and nobody's trying to cover this up or sell it as if this is the greatest offensive line or the most intimidating offensive line. They understand that this is a work in progress, but they understand that also they know what they have to do and go out and show it in the preseason in order to build some continuity and confidence here.
Well, and listen, coaches understand that when they speak to the media, there's always underlying messages that are administered because the players listen in today's game, everybody reads everything. And, you know, they'll be lying to you when they say, "Oh, I never read the clipping." No, they do. Trust me. So the coaches know that. So they try to, you know, this is the offensive coordinator now. This isn't a position coach saying, "Oh, you know, it's all," this is the offensive coordinator basically telling the offensive line is, "Guys, you know, we've got the guys in the backfield, but they can't do anything of successful without you guys. So let's go. Let's get it going." And I would say that this Cleveland Browns team on paper is a better defensive team than it is an offensive team. So this will be a better matchup for the offensive line going against the Cleveland Browns defenses. I mean, they got to play Myles Garrett today.
First overall pick.
That'll be interesting. And all we read about and hear about him is that he is off the charts as far as his progression and coming in as a rookie. I think that Mike Williams, right? The defensive
Greg
coordinator?
Greg Williams. Yeah.
Greg Williams had said that he has progressed the most that he's ever seen a rookie guy come out of college. That's scary.
Transition was smooth, he said.
And he's scary good. So, Listen, this is a great test. Which side he lines up on for either one of those tackles, we're going to get a good sampling of how these guys can attack a guy like Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett. And the other thing that's important to note, Jeff, on that topic is, remember, last week they went up against a 3-4 defense. So this week now it's a 4-3 defense. So they're
perfect.
Also getting a different look,
yep,
the offensive line, in terms of the pressure packages as well as the alignment. And Greg Williams, if you go back on his track record, he loves to bring pressure.
Yes.
And I'm sure he's going to experiment a little, because they do want to put Myles Garrett in a variety of different spots,
yep,
as you mentioned as well.
Yep. And, you know, so that'll be a good test for this offensive line and their running game. Defensively, I think, when we look at guys like, well, let me go to the defense. So you got Darius Powell is going to be out of the lineup, and you got Harris is going to be out. What does that mean? That means guys like Rudolph and some of the other receivers are going to get a chance to play a little bit more, which is only good for them. Travis Rudolph is probably going to take some kickoffs now that Dwayne Harris is out of the lineup. So we did see him in the first preseason game doing some of that. I would imagine we'll see him again doing punt and kickoff returns. That's one way that this young man is going to make the team. He's not going to be your primary receiver or your primary returner. That's Harris's job. But if he gets hurt, you got to
they need an
reliable,
insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then also see his special team play too. You know, out at the gunner position, doing things like that. Defensively. Okay, so now we got to talk about the Cleveland Browns offense, which, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to start. Is it going to be Osweiler? I would imagine.
Well, they also have DeShone Kizer that they're taking a look at. I'm sure they're going to try to throw in as many different quarterbacks as they can.
And we all know that, you know, basically the Cleveland Browns bought a second-round draft pick for $15 million.
Pretty much,
you
know? I mean, it was like an NBA move, essentially.
Yeah, right? And so I'm interested. I don't really care about watching Osweiler. We've seen, I don't think he's a, you know, what he is supposed to be after all the money he got, but Kizer is a guy I want to see play. I want to see him play. Been hearing good things about him. Really good college football player. I think he can transition to the NFL pretty well.
And here's the other thing. Cleveland was aggressively pursuing offensive linemen this offseason. They've revamped their offensive line. So, you know, it's also a good test for the defensive line, Jeff, because, you know, you think of Cleveland, you think of offensive line issues, you think of all issues, I should say. But in all seriousness, I thought the Browns did a really nice job bringing some veterans
they
to
did.
Solidify that offensive
they,
line this
they
year.
They needed to. They needed to. I mean, Joe Thomas is their, you know, he's a Hall of Fame guy. He's there. But the rest of them, you can't even, you know, you had no idea who they were. Now they went out free to get. So that's going to help their running game. That's going to help their offense. They, you know, they lost Pryor. You know, he
Terrell
goes
Pryor, yeah.
So I think that we'll see what happens offensively.
They brought in Kenny Britt as their main.
And, you know, Kenny Britt has had a good career on the last two or three years. He's really turned his stuff around because there was a point in time there where we didn't think Kenny Britt was going to make it in the league anymore.
Off the field issues.
So
yeah.
He's matured, and that's you'd like to see those things happen to some guys like that because, you know, we always talk about, oh, my God, the guy made it in the NFL, and then he just kind of wished away. And he realized, okay, I'm not going to be in this league for much longer if I don't change some things, and he did well. So got him a good contract.
Yeah, Rams, Titans, made a name for himself, and that's a big reason why he was able to cash in this offseason. So some competition that the Giants are going to see, plenty to delve into. Let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Bash is in Ohio. He gets us going on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's happening, Bash?
Good morning.
How are you doing, Lance? What's going on, Jeff? Good morning, fellas.
Hello.
We were talking about matchups for the Cleveland Browns and Giants, and I wanted to get into one matchup that we're not really talking about, and it's more about the rookies. And I know the Giants had a big thing as far as the draft and everything about David Nakua, so I wanted to see the matchup between Evan Engram. Not saying they're matching up against each other, but the stats and the numbers as far as Engram and Nakua, the tight end for
and
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and Joku, the tight end from Miami.
Right, from Miami, the two tight ends and stuff, see how they play today and stuff and see the things because I know a lot of people was intrigued by Nakua coming to the Giants and everything. So just seeing that matchup and also Evan Engram against the other rookie they have in Jabril Peppers. I just wanted to get your thoughts and ideas about the tight end play tonight and about the matchup between Evans and Jabril Peppers.
I don't know necessarily if you're definitely going to see Engram against Peppers. I mean, it really depends on the rotation that the Browns defense throws out there. But I do think that to see a young tight end like Njoku go up against this defense, considering, you know, Jeff, we talked about this so much last season. If there was one area that you'd want to see the defense shore up, it's clearly defending the tight end down the field, in addition to preventing themselves from giving up the big pass plays, which Steve Spagnuolo talked about last week. So here's an opportunity to go up against a young athletic tight end. Tonight.
Very young and athletic, and a guy that can, you know, make some plays like Evan Engram. You know, I mean, when you look at these two guys, they're completely different when you look at them, you know, the way they look. I mean, I think that Engram is a bigger guy. Njoku is cut up, like, just, you know, is very athletic. The Giants have got to be able to stop some of the tight. I mean, how many times have we talked about Witten and Reed and all these guys? So this is a good opportunity to try to go and see how this young man plays. You know, well, you keep bringing up names for the Cleveland Browns, Jabril Peppers. You know,
you realize they have all these young guys, yeah.
All these young guys and Kaiser. So it's going to be exciting to watch this Browns team play. They're only going to get better. You know, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. But, boy, they're trying to build a team and – it'll be fun to watch some of these young guys. We know we talked about all of them for months before they were drafted.
Correct, because we were scouting them.
Yeah.
Depending on whether or not the Giants were going to have any interest in taking them. So I think that's certainly a matchup to watch. But, you know, at the same time, I think, once again, the play in the trenches is something that can't be overlooked. It may not be the most attractive thing to watch, but how this front group for the Browns goes up against this Giants offensive line, and I think the reversal, too, because, as I mentioned, I think this is a completely different Browns offensive line, and if this is the first opportunity for JPP and Vernon to be back on the field, I think it would be nice to see how they pick up where they left off. And also, you know, does Jay Bromley and Kerry Wynn, who you mentioned, Jeff, remember, I think the point of the preseason is you're not necessarily expecting everybody to fill up the stat sheet, but the guys that have an opportunity to really step up their game and carve out roles, I think you want to see consistency.
You don't want to just the next.
Correct. You don't want to just see, like, all right, they were great in preseason game one, and then they came back in the fourth preseason game. I think you want to see all four games. Hey, you know what? I remember this play that Bromley did. I remember this play that Kerry Wynn did. That's what I'm going to be looking for tonight.
And for
as
that
well.
Matter, you like to see that out of all the players consistently, one to the build, you know, they build up, see a little bit of improvement. You know, every day they say 1% is Coach Mack's motto, 1% every day. Let's see the progression from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and 3 to 4. 4 is really – 3 to 4 is not – you know. The fourth preseason game, that game is basically for trying to find out probably who those four or five players are going to be that keep it on the team. That's all that last game is. But I'm interested to see we hear a lot about Jay Bromley. We hear a lot about the coaches talking about him. We hear about Snacks telling him how he's upped his game. And this only comes with maturity. I will tell you this. That when you play along the side of Snacks Harrison, that's only going to make you better. Because here's the thing. In the regular season, Snacks is getting double teamed. The next guy isn't, okay? But work ethic. You know, Snacks is a guy that's a hard worker, okay? He's a professional. And he plays that position the way it's supposed to be played. You can only learn from a guy like that. So Jay Bromley obviously has done that. And so he's the penciled in starter at that position. You got to look at Tomlinson, who's going to come in. I mean, he's going to challenge that too, but you definitely got some depth there when you talk about. Now, we talked about this on Friday with John, trying to figure out, do you think they keep three or four D tackles? Well, this is what's going to tell us if they do or not, because like I said, if they have to cut a fourth tackle, he's going somewhere else most likely, because there are four D tackles on this team that can make this team. It's just a matter of numbers now. Where are you going to keep now with Keenan Robinson being gone as a linebacker? We don't know how he's going
to
come
back.
You
have to keep an extra linebacker.
So this is the attrition that happens in training camp. You know, is Eli Apple going to make it back in time for, you know, do they have to keep an extra corner for a week or whatever? So a lot of things go into the roster spots, but Jay Bromley has certainly done what he's had to do to get in that starting lineup, but you want to see some progression, as you say. Yeah.
Yeah, Bromley basically, he sees Robert Thomas banged up. He knows Tomlinson's a rookie, and he says if there's any opportune moment to now surge ahead of the competition,
right,
it's now, and I think he took full advantage. But this, to me now, is a huge game. You know, we talk about the timeline and everybody rushing to the finish line, I should say, actually, rather. This is now a huge game for Robert Thomas, Jeff, because he missed the first preseason game.
It's a huge game for Robert Thomas. It's a huge game for Owa. A guy that could, you know, that missed all of the offseason and has been plagued with injuries and is now healthy and needs to go out and show that he is that draft pick that the Giants wanted, the production they wanted out of him 3 years ago. We always use that window, 3 years, man. You know, Eric Flowers is a guy, this is his third year. You know, it really comes to a point where you either fish or cut bait. You know, it's like, so, oh, it's a big game for him. I think Okwara, all these guys, Kerry Wynn, the thing about Kerry Wynn is that you're going to have, in football, you're always going to have, you know, a guy that doesn't play his best on Sunday. But for the most part, Kerry Wynn does what he wants you to do or what you want him to do. He's very consistent. He's very disciplined. He gives you 110% on each play. He plays the run well. He's a guy that sometimes you're going to scratch your head like, do we have to get rid of this guy? Because you know he's going somewhere else. And Okwara is a young guy. We saw a lot from him last year at the end of the season when injuries presented themselves for a guy like them to come in and play. So a lot of questions on that D-line. I watched for that today. But, again, it's all about the numbers. It's going to be tough to keep all these guys.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Bash, appreciate the phone call. Let's head back
to
the lines.
Thank you for calling in,
I know,
buddy.
We got a little bit off in terms of breaking down the entire roster, but
I actually forgot that Bash was on the line. That's
well, he
bad.
Did ask the good question about the matchups with the Browns and the Giants and the young tight ends. We just then expanded upon that point. Dave is in Cranford. Dave, what's happening?
How are you guys?
Doing well, Dave. What do you got for us?
Good. Hey, I wanted to ask Jeff a quick question first and then something about the game tonight.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you ever have a chance where you weren't really sure if you were making a team early on in your career?
Oh, God,
when Cutdown was coming?
Oh, heck yeah. My first 4 years in the league was, you know, I just went in and did what I had to do, but there was, you know, there's nobody that's coming telling you, like, hey, listen, you're doing really good, man. You're going to make the team.
Right.
Just keep going.
Right.
Every time it came down for those first 4 years for me, it was the last cut. And pretty much no news is good news. When nobody's coming to you and no one's knocking on your door, we call it the Turk, the guy that comes in. I mean, I had roommates in training camp where, you know, we hear that knock at like 5:30 in the morning. And, man, I'll tell you what, your heart just, it's like, oh, no, oh, no. And then you got a 50% chance because you got one roommate, right? They're coming
so it's
to
either
get
him or you.
They're coming to get me or him or maybe both. And
but your whole career, Jeff, right? You played 16 games every year your whole career.
Correct. Yeah.
right? Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, that's impressive.
And
so.
Listen, I will tell you that, you know, as you get as from the kicking position, you know, the longer you stay in the league, you know, right around your sixth, seventh year, and you're doing well, you're now an established veteran, and I think that you have you bring a lot to the table in terms of guys that, you know, you usually if you're having a bad year, the rule of thumb was you got three games. You know, so if you have a bad game, you have a bad game. You know, the second game, if you have another bad game, then they're starting to think, okay, something's going on. And then you have that third game, then it's over. So, you know, for me, well, I had bad games. We all do. But you want to make sure that the next game, you don't have that bad second game
bounce
and
back.
You come back. It bounced back, exactly. So.
Yep.
Just turning on the computer?
Yeah. Well, he's multitasking at the time.
Here.
Yes.
I wanted to get you guys to comment just about Eli and the preseason and kind of the expectations for tonight, because
okay.
I think there's two sides to how Eli, you know, approaches games. And I think when you see him step up the game in the playoffs and when you see him, you know, really rise to the occasion in big moments, which is one of the things we all love about him, I think the other side to that is preseason. He has, if you go back and look at some of his statistics, even in years, you know, I went back and looked at, you know, when our offense, you know, in 15 was really strong. If you look at his preseason numbers, they were just, you know, abysmal. They were horrible. And I think he was interviewed this past week where he talked about what his goals are, and he was just talking about, you know, mainly finding completions and, you know, getting into the rhythm and not really. And I think it's the right approach. What I'm getting to is that I don't have high expectations. I think you're going to see him get rid of the ball very quickly. I don't think they're going to look both for Eli's health as well as for Flowers' confidence. I don't think you're going to see him holding onto the ball real long, because I don't think they want to see, you know, anything negative happen there. And I think that, you know, even on their running game, which I would love to see get going, McAdoo plays, you know, his cards very close to the vest, as all head coaches do. But yeah. I think he's definitely of that kind of Bill Belichick mindset of, like, you know, I don't want to put anything out there on tape that's going to hurt us in week one and going into the season. So I think even their run plays are going to be plays that they're trying to develop, outside zone, things that they're not necessarily very good at that they're trying to develop. And all I'm saying for all this is because I expect that by tomorrow, if not by later tonight, you know, the media covering the team, not you guys, but the other media covering the team, is going to be, you know, raising all sorts of red flags about, you know, how bad the offense looks and we're not making progress and all that sort of stuff. And I just don't think that, you know, I think there's different goals going into this game
there
than there are,
is.
you know, I'd just like to get you guys' comments on that.
Well,
there's always
different goals. The other thing that people have to understand is that when you're going in the regular season, teams are working all week in game preparation and scheming and this and that. You know, there is none of that in preseason. So sometimes the plays just don't work. It's vanilla. It's we're going to run a zone play to the right. We're going to run this to the left. You know, there's not a lot of checking that's going on at the line of scrimmage. If they're in cover two, we're not going to run this play normally, but we're just going to run it now and just get it done. There's a lot of stuff that happens that doesn't happen in the regular season. So that's why a lot of times these offenses work and sometimes they don't. Look at some of the other preseason scores around the league. You know, there's teams that are scoring 35, 40 points in preseason. You know, it's pretty much shows you that the other team wasn't doing much on defense. They're in their base defense, and that's it. They're trying to evaluate on certain things. So do you have a better chance of, you know, it's hard to grade these preseason games. I think you would have to look at, you know, a few little factors here and there. Like, did you get in and out of this coverage when you do it from like a Josh Johnson or Geno Smith? We know that Eli Manning's going to get in and out of a coverage if he has to check off the line of scrimmage. But I think mental assignments, you know, missed assignments at the line of scrimmage, the linebackers, things. These are the things you look at when you're evaluating a preseason game. There's no game planning whatsoever. These guys just got their game plan. Well, actually, this week was the first week.
A little bit more.
They got a little bit
more. Week,
because
yeah.
not for the reason that they want to go out and really try to win this game. They want to get the new players and everybody used to how we game plan for a game. You know, here's your game plan. Here's our new meeting structure because we're out of training camp now. And so they want to kind of build that, and it's just a routine going through it. So, but I think you're right. I think a lot of times with Eli, and if the offense struggles, then of course the media is going to just go crazy. And I think the first place they're going to go is to the offensive line. That's the easiest target right now. And but I think hold the phones until we can get to the regular season and game planning and things like that. But you want to kind of see a little bit of progress, right? Let's see that running game get amped up a little bit and get some good positive yards on first and second down and see what the offense can do on third and short.
Yeah, the preseason's a lot about one-on-one individual matchups and the level of execution within those matchups.
Level of execution, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think a lot of the coaches are looking for as opposed to, you know, oh, well, we ran this play to perfection and we know we can then translate it to the regular season. When you're right, you know, the coaching staffs, they don't want to showcase everything because they don't want other teams, specifically the Cowboys, to be able to look at their preseason games and say, well, maybe this is how they're going to line things up, especially since, you know, Mike Sullivan even mentioned what they did this offseason, Jeff, was they looked back at last season and they said, you know, maybe we need to change where we line up personnel, specifically the tight ends and the wide receivers. You know, they don't want to necessarily throw all of that out in the preseason. They want week one or week two to be the first time that teams are seeing, hey, you know what, they're mixing the wide receivers this year, or they're not going with three wide receiver sets all the time if they keep a fullback. So that's why I also think the rationale is, let me just see how guys run routes. Let me see whether or not they win their individual one-on-one battles. They go through the motions as opposed to, you know, this is exactly how we're going to run it in the regular season. The other thing that I will add is, you know, and you brought up a good point, that there have been teams that have been extremely explosive in the preseason, and then what happens? You see them in week one and week two, and they can barely score 10 points.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you see teams that can't put up any points, and then all of a sudden they're electric in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
With the Giants, I think we've had, just off the top of my head, Jeff, we've had very mixed results from the games we viewed in the last few preseasons, and let's face it, the Giants have not been lighting up the scoreboard in the last few preseasons. And then there's been years where in 15, as Dave brought up on the phone lines, where the offense was great. Now, last year, the offense took a dip. So I don't know. My point is, how much can you truly read into the preseason? Well, in terms of points per game, I guess is what I'm saying.
You can't. You really can't.
Exactly.
You can't. We'll let you continue the call, but there's a reason why the media is not allowed at certain portions of the practice. There's reasons why these teams are putting in their offense on privately, you know, because they have to practice it. If going with your point is, if they're going to change about, you know, personnel and formations, they certainly don't want everybody in the world to know what they're doing out of practice either doing it, because you know that the media immediately would be like, oh, my God, Odell Beckham is now in the backfield. 27% of the plays last week.
Brent Ellis is in the slot. Oh, my
God,
I've never seen that.
It's like, okay, that's why close the gate, pull the shades down. Exactly. No one's going to see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not going to show it in the preseason game at all.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's a big part of the equation. And, Dave, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, Dave. You're welcome. Have a good one.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Twitter as well, hashtag Giants Chat. We're going to get to some tweets, but let's head back to the phone lines. We got Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Chuckles.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Charlie. We'll see it depending on how this phone call plays out, but right now I think we're doing okay.
All right. Hey, I see a bad moon horizon.
Oh, boy. You're waiting to use that analogy.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. You're waiting 99 years to use that analogy.
Charlie, are you going to tell us today that you don't need those sunglasses to look into the sun? Are you going to tell us that all of it is a joke? Everything is just
no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, what I've got to say is the Navajo Indians always said, do not look at the sun during an eclipse. They knew better back then. They always said, go inside and be quiet and feel the presence of this event. And that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Not surprised you took the spiritual route. I am not surprised at all.
Hey,
well,
look,
you know what? Let's get to the elephant, though, on the phone line before we get to the nuts and bolts about the Giants. So the Falcons played the Steelers yesterday, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to that first.
And Pepe LePew did well again. He got two passes.
Wow. I mean, because when I say, you know, skyrocketing numbers, I look at two receptions for 26 yards. Yes.
Well, the only other guy got four receptions, and I don't think
well,
he got
three in
more
fairness, actually. No, he was even closer to
we
the
had
top
the stats
to
of
the receiving
corps.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how closely you were looking at the numbers here. Reggie Davis led the Falcons. He had three catches for 74 yards. Yes.
Yeah, and the thing is it was over the middle. He got hit by about three guys. He held on to the ball, and they've been playing him more in the first and second quarters. So, then they took him out. I think they know what they got in him, and then they put other players in. So I think he's going to make the roster.
Of course you do.
Well, I can tell the confidence is overwhelming.
He thought he was going to make the roster 2 months ago. Why would change your mind now?
I don't even know. I was actually going to ask him how confident he feels, but that's a dumb question because we already know the answer.
There's no doubt in my mind that Charlie has all the confidence, whether it's in him or anyone else, that what he says is going to happen.
Yes. He's been on the phones trying to get the Atlanta Falcons front office, too, to try to convince
Who's
them.
Who's the new lineman we're supposed to bring in this week? Anybody?
Look, you guys were talking, I think with John and you, Jeff, we're talking about, who we're going to keep. And, we got so many good players on the D-line and D-tackle and, this area. This is what we do. We only keep two quarterbacks. We save a spot. We only keep seven offensive linemen. Put two on the practice squad. If we need them, you bring them up. There's nobody worth eight or nine on that offensive line to be on this team. I mean, you look at our depth. There's none of those guys. We got better players on the D-line, DN, cornerback, safety. Those are the guys, a linebacker, we should keep and just go with seven linemen, two quarterbacks. We're going to save about three spots. We're going to keep some really good players on this team. That's what I would do.
Okay, so start with the quarterback. So you feel comfortable with Davis Webb being the backup and not having any experience in case something did happen? You're all right with that?
I would, because if he really look, if Eli goes down, we're toast anyway. It doesn't matter. We ain't going to playoffs. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but what if it's only for a game?
Correct,
or two?
Yeah. Can't
well,
think about
one,
the season.
If we lose one game, then that's so what? That's not going to be a big deal.
I can – And on the flip side of it, if something did happen, you could probably always – I think Geno Smith and Josh Johnson probably would be available to go back and bring them back in.
To bring
in
a free agent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I like – for once in my life, I liked what Charlie's doing.
It's not a stretch what he's saying.
I agree.
I will give you that. I disagree. I mean, I disagree from the standpoint I don't think that's going to happen. I ultimately think they are going to keep three quarterbacks. But – I don't think it's a stretch your rationale. Okay, so now we give you a brownie point for that. Let's go to now point B. What's point B?
McAdoo like picks up quarterbacks like he played with G.I. Joes when he was a kid. he always liked quarterbacks.
Boy. See, that was better than the solar eclipse analogy. I actually enjoyed that one.
I'm visioning Charlie with blowing G.I. Joes up in his backyard. That's,
Yeah, with the volcano, in science class, you usually built that. Yeah,
look, here comes G.I. Joe. Oh, my God.
No, I had Dalai Lamas. I was a peaceful guy.
Oh, really? What he would do? Right. He would take the G.I. Joe and he'd rub it with Annika. That's what he would do. He'd put Annika all over the G.I. Joe to make sure that the doll was okay in the recovery time. Yes.
Hey, we're going to know a lot about flowers is great. Improvement tonight.
Yes, we
Garrett
will.
Goes up against him.
Yeah, I agree.
This ain't going to be pretty, guys. I don't think it's going to be pretty. And the other thing I think is going to be interesting is watching Ingram and Njoku, because I wanted us to take him, the guy from Miami. So it's going to be interesting to see which one plays better.
Yeah, and listen, you're not going to get a huge sampling because they're not going to play the whole game. But I think, we obviously know that those two guys can catch the football and make plays. Let's watch their athleticism, blocking a little bit. Let's just, but it's going to be exciting. There's a lot of guys I want to watch play on this Cleveland Browns team. I want to see Peppers play tonight. I want to see Kaiser. I want to see how he throws the football. Maybe look at some of those offensive linemen. They got a bunch of them over in Cleveland, right? Maybe somebody's good enough to maybe make the Giants roster down the line. What do you think, Charlie?
Don't give him any ideas, Jeff.
All I know is Joe Thomas is there, and he should be on the other side of the field.
Yeah, well.
So that's all I got to say.
All right.
And hopefully after tonight they might realize that. But anyway,
well, I highly doubt
great
that.
Great show tonight.
Yes,
and
thank you.
I'll be watching, and I'm going to try to listen to you guys.
All right, Charlie.
We appreciate that. Thanks so much. Good to hear from Charlie. I highly doubt that Joe Thomas is going to be parting ways with the Cleveland Browns, because if they invested in new offensive linemen this year, the whole point is to keep Joe Thomas around to protect whoever is going to be under center. You don't part ways with your starting left tackle after you invest in your offensive line. To me, that would be backwards thinking
in
terms of putting an NFL team together.
Yeah, there's no, that guy is cemented in Cleveland Browns history right there. He's not going anywhere.
Well, it was funny, speaking of Joe Thomas, E60, which is ESPN's profile show where they do sort of in-depth stories. They actually did a really good profile on Joe Thomas on this week's episode, and they had him sit down. I always find this hysterical when they go to him, can you name the 18 quarterbacks that you actually blocked
for? Oh, goodness.
And he actually got all 18, believe it or not, which is remarkable. 18 quarterbacks, Jeff, he has protected.
He's got a better
in his
memory
decade
than me.
Tenure with the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, Schmelk got me Friday on our
oh, he
know,
did
you play with Jeff Fiegel's segment.
Wow.
He killed me on Friday.
Was this an obscure one?
No, the problem with this is that we haven't done it in a while, and I just I
have
to be – listen, I have to be – I have to have the nice – you know, my mind has to be ready for
mentally,
that.
Mentally, you got to be in the
yes,
zone.
Yes, and he just – and it was like 1 minute till 12 or 11, and he said – you know what we haven't done in a while? And he hit the thing. And it's like, did you? I'm like, no.
Clutch
no,
you completely
no.
off guard.
And it was like he caught me off guard.
He's sneaky. Yeah.
So I went 0 for 3. I went 0 for
really?
3.
Really? 0 for 3? Oh, you did 3
and so he felt
ones.
Bad
wow.
for me. And he says, all right, let's do one more. And I just kept suit. I said no on all of them. And the last one, yes, I didn't play.
You
but the
that.
First three, I messed
wow.
up.
Wow. Uh-oh.
He's just trying to get me. Because I told him at the beginning that I would definitely get over 500. But I'm getting close. What am I? There's my.
Oh, the record is here.
Yeah, I'm 30-25.
Okay,
so 30 right. guys.
Keeping
yes.
your head above water.
Not bad.
You have an opportunity.
He comes to me with guys that played four games, okay, on the roster in like 1991.
Oh my God!
But I that's the part of the game.
Of course. Well, that's really testing whether or not you truly remember who was in and out of the roster.
Very, very hard. It really is. So.
You're in off-season mode still, in fairness. Once the regular
but
season
that,
starts,
I think
you'll
I gotta go back
gain your mojo
ways,
back.
You know. We've got to go back to 1990 and 89. He brings up stuff with the Patriots. A guy played one game.
Oh, my God, wow.
And then you know what he'll say? Well, you should have known. He made one tackle on special teams.
Yeah,
he's
you
your special teams guy. You should have known. Oh, yeah, I played one game, one tackle.
Not to mention, even after your playing days, studying up on the Giants, remember, teammates that you didn't even technically have as teammates. So that even blurries the lines.
And in all honesty, and he sometimes he has it right up here, and I always tell him move the computer so I can't see it. And I do not go back and look at the rosters of the teams. It's strictly on memory.
So you're not you don't.
I don't
at
go
it
back
on
and
the
look at all the
to just at least peruse through names.
I don't.
Wow. Okay. That's
just,
even more impressive.
It's strictly out of memory.
Okay.
Which not very good at times.
Well, at least you admit that though. So.
But it's funny because I do have my memory for certain – I don't know. Like I think that when I was with the Eagles, I know a lot of the players I played on with the Eagles for some reason. I just think that was more of a – I don't know. But then as later in my career when my kids started getting older and I started to not hang around the team as much. Like
it's understandable.
Just so then I just kind of – I don't know who was on the team. But earlier in my career, we were all the same age, and we had kids and things like that. And then as I got older, my kids were – we just did different things. You know, the younger guys were going bowling and doing that kind of stuff. I was, you know, trying to figure out, you know, calculus.
Well, you had a family you were raising, of course. Yeah, different priorities.
Yep.
It's understandable. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We got Len in Columbia, Maryland.
Lenny, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Hey, Jeff, the last time I talked to you was – autograph day at training camp, right at the end of your session.
Yep.
I walked up to you and introduced myself, and it was nice to meet you, Jeff.
You too. It's always – by the way, we always encourage here at Big Blue Kickoff Live, if you are a caller and you haven't been – we haven't been able to meet you personally, make sure you come and find us. We're always on that stage over at MetLife before the home game, so we always appreciate you guys coming by and putting a face to a face to a voice,
a face
I guess?
To a name.
A face to a name
too,
or a name to a voice, whatever it is.
Well,
thank you, Len.
We'd just like to have a heads up so we could just have extra security, though.
Of course.
That's the one part that you should
have. Because the Tino needs a lot of security.
Yes, correct. Exactly. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, a little different approach than Charlie. I got the chairs lined up. I got the glasses. The cooler's full. And I got some sun chips. And I can't wait till about 1
chips.
O'clock. And,
nice.
We start to see this eclipse. It's going to be It's going to be a nice day with the Giants game tonight too. Listen, on this game tonight, there's no reason to expect or to not expect that the Giants are going to play well tonight. I mean, come on, guys, we've been together for a month.
All right.
11 days, and a lot of those are off days until we finish the preseason schedule. I mean, come on, it's time to play well. So I'm looking, you know, I want a good feeling. I want to see them play better than they played last week. I want to see some growth in the team.
In which ways? Which ways then? Where are you wanting to see some growth? What positions? Or specifically?
You know, I don't want to be so general as to say team-wide, but that's the way I'm thinking. I want to see a little growth out of every position. Like those unit coaches have been working with this guy, and there's a, you know, and the team essentially plays better. And hopefully that manifests itself in a win. I like to win. I know it's the preseason, but I got to tell you the truth, guys. I feel better the next day when we win. I don't care if it's a preseason schedule, you know, preseason game or not. So
Right. Those
are the kinds of things I'm looking for. You know, a lot of interesting talk about third game. What's really different about the approach in game three than the approach in game two? I mean, we're five days away.
Okay.
Other than the starters playing longer, what else is there, Jeff?
I think the word approach is obviously how you're going to go into the game. The difference is that the approach is that now the starters are going to play into the second half, and they just because they need a dress rehearsal for as much as they can. That approach is different, but as far as the game planning and things like that, there's not going to be much difference in going from, you know, the first game, there's practically no game planning. The second, a little bit. Third, maybe just a little bit more. It's just a build-up, Len. It's just a build-up.
Yeah.
So, and it all comes down to this theory about, you know, do they need preseason? Okay. Well,
yeah.
you need a couple games, right?
Yeah.
I think
you need two.
You got to have two, right? I mean, three is too much. Four is way too many. I think two is perfect. And I think you would see more players playing the first and the second game collectively, starters and things like that, if you only had two. But now you have the luxury of easing people through. So there's a point in time where you have to say to yourself, listen, we got to play a game. You know, so let's play that first half. And maybe, you know, listen, Coughlin at times and even McAdoo, they played the whole third quarter too. You know, so it's just a matter of what you just said. I want to see a little bit of improvement from collectively the whole team. That's going to dictate how far they go into the third quarter next week. So that's the approach, I guess.
Okay. You know, let me add a couple of things to what you said and interject if I can. You know, kudos to ownership of the Giants, and I think there are several other teams around the league that have done the same thing. As a season ticket holder, you know, they cut the prices of the preseason games in half from the regular season.
Yeah.
So it's literally half, and that's a great move. I mean, it just is. But it feeds into the next point. You know, they really ought to be playing only two games.
You know,
you wonder about the value to the people who are buying these tickets. And, you know, even if I give them, you know, I give them to a niece or a nephew and I say, hey, you want to go to a Giants game? Here's two tickets. Everybody gets excited. They put their Manning jersey on. They put their Beckham jersey on, and they find out, you know, they get to the first game and Eli's a healthy scratch. You know, people go to these games, they want to see these guys on the field.
But they
if you're not going to put them on the field, play two less games.
Well, you're going to.
Yeah?
My point is, if you had two, you would see the guys on there. Okay, but just be careful what you wish for. Those two games are probably going to be full price. So,
I also think you got to look at it from the perspective, Len, that, you know, the coaching staff needs to evaluate the guys that are on the border. You know, they're not too worried about the starters, and sometimes you need more than two games to get an idea of whether or not the fourth corner deserves a roster spot.
Well, I think I honestly disagree. I believe you can get that evaluation enough in camp and two games. Okay, one advantage of the two games is that you have now two weeks to not have to worry about maybe one of your starters getting hurt. You're closer to the regular season, which basically pads it a little bit more as far as safety, and you now can go into a regular season game knowing that 95% of your roster is healthy rather than – that's why you don't see them in the first or second games. It's basically the same theory. You're going to see a lot of them in the third game, nothing in the fourth game. So when you put
–
one second, I'll let you go. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, go
so
ahead,
the
go
collectively,
ahead.
You got a first half – for the third game. The second game is what? A first quarter, maybe into the second quarter, and then basically one series in the first game and nothing in the fourth. Collectively, you're getting a little bit more than one real four-quarter starters game maybe into the second. Does that make sense? So it's really like having two preseason games. That's what it is.
Good point. Let me just say one other thing, and I'm repeating myself here. Kudos to ownership for their value pricing on the preseason. A terrific move on the part of the Giants. Listen, Charlie, a little bit of a doomsday approach to this evening's game, but let me piggyback on that. You know, when was the last time the Browns were on Monday Night Football?
Well, actually, I remember when they played the Giants in that 2008 season.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? What was the name of the wide receiver who was from Michigan, Lance? Who had that huge night?
Braylon Edwards.
Oh, my gosh.
Who are you talking about? You're talking about Braylon Edwards.
There you go.
I think he was on that team.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Man, did we lay an egg. Did we lay an egg that game? Yep. Holy
smokes. Well, and Benjamin Watson was the tight end who also had a big game, I believe.
Yeah, you know, following up to what Charlie said, listen, Monday Night Football in Cleveland, they haven't had this for a long time. They're trying to sell tickets out there. I see them approaching game two as if it was game three.
You might be right. You might. What do they have to lose?
Well, but you know what? But that's good for the Giants, though.
If we're going to put 90 guys on a plane, fly them to Cleveland, hang around for 16 hours before the game, before the game starts, let's treat it like it's not just a glorified scrimmage. Let's go out there and play some football, and maybe at the end, Len's feeling a little better because we got to win.
We want you to feel better, Glenn.
I think that anybody who's not in a position that they could say they know they have a roster spot who wears a Giants uniform tonight is going to take this game extremely seriously. So I don't think it's just the guys on the Cleveland side. There's a lot of guys that know that they have a lot to gain if they play well tonight. Maybe the starters are not necessarily treating this like life and death. I get that, if that's your point. But, Len, I think there's plenty of guys that know there's a lot riding on this game.
Well, a lot of this – don't you think, though, Lance, that a lot of this comes from – and I'll use the word approach again – an approach for the coaching staff. These players feed off their coaches, off their position coaches. I just see it as a danger point that, tomorrow morning we're talking, 31-14 Browns. And I don't want that to happen. But I could see it. Hey, it's a big night in Cleveland. I don't know how close the two stadiums are, but the Indians play the Red Sox tonight and the Browns play the Giants. If you're looking for a parking place in downtown Cleveland, it's probably going to be pretty tough tonight.
Well,
that'll be interesting.
I would probably guarantee you that you would not be able to find a seat in the baseball stadium, but you will be able to find a seat in the football stadium.
Yes, I think that's fair. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's why, again, back to a point I was trying to make. They're trying to sell tickets tonight, guys. So, it kind of adds to the approach part of it. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Looking forward to the game tonight. Let's go, Giants. Let's win a game.
All right, Len.
Talk to you later, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
If I'm the marketing department and my job is based on trying to sell tickets to a second preseason game, I'm in trouble. I'm probably going to lose my job. That's a hard one.
Yes, it's hard to sell that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the Browns have struggled so much in the regular season. Now you want people to come out and watch a preseason game.
With the Indians playing the Red Sox across the street. I'm just quitting. Putting in my papers. I'm done.
But in fairness, Cleveland probably has the best shot to win a preseason game more so than a regular season game. So maybe
if you want to hang your hat on going to a preseason Cleveland Browns game and they win and you can go and celebrate, then all the power to you. It's a shame. That city would love – I mean, you think about Cleveland Browns football back in the day with Jim Brown. I mean, that team that, you had the dog pound. And listen, I played – and I know we're going to have to go in a second, but I played in Memorial Stadium, okay? I think it's Memorial Stadium. The old Cleveland Browns Stadium, okay? Where you had to go through the I'm not lying about this. You had to get to the field. You had to walk through the dugout to get onto the field, okay? And I remember the locker room was a baseball locker
Municipal
room.
Stadium, by
Municipal
the way.
Municipal Stadium,
yes,
okay?
That's what you're referring
to. I'll never forget our lockers – there were some lockers that had hooks in them. There were some lockers that literally had nails in them. That's where you hung your clothes on.
I guess that was the worn-out hooks.
Holy smokes was in an old stadium. But it was awesome. I mean, you know, you had the Browns mystique, and you had the dog pound back there. And I remember I was punting from the back of the end zone one time, and it was just, you know, they're just yelling, and their dog bones coming in the end zone.
Real character.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, but that town really deserves to have a good football team. But I don't know if it's going to be this year. So.
Well, I think that they should certainly make improvement. And the fact that they only won one game last year, I think will at least put them in a good position moving forward. But before we wrap up, Jeff, I just wanted to piggyback off of the point that Len brought up. And, you know, you could provide some insight being a former player. While I understand that every fan wants to see a win in the preseason, and I agree that the coaching staff does set the tone, I still think, though, the coaching staff priority is to motivate the individual players in terms of executing, as opposed to maybe saying, guys, it's life or death in terms of the outcome of this game.
No, and there's not a coach out there that's going to get in front of the team and say, guys, I just want you to go out there and play good tonight. I don't care if we win or lose. They're not going to say that. Okay, they're going to say, we're here to win the game. Okay, a lot of you guys, this game depends on your future, and go out and play the way you're supposed to play. And the underlying message is that we are watching you. We want to win the game, of course, because that's why we play the game. But the overall picture is that this is an evaluation process. We have to do it. We've got to get down to 53 in 2.5 weeks. Go out there and play your butt off. That's basically what it is.
Let's get to a few tweets before we wrap up. We've got AJ Marshall 3. I want to see the Giants' first team offense establish a touchdown when they get to the green zone, not settling for field goals. They were 0-for-2 in the red zone in the Steelers game, and they had to settle for ultimately 4 field goals.
And you think about the first one, they had a 4th-and-1. They went for it down on the goal line. They made it, and then they end up having a penalty, 2 from back. And then those are the things, you're right. You cannot have those types of penalties in the green zone, red zone, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to see that, too.
At Lewis V. Kristen, would like to see a balanced opening drive that ends in a touchdown or at the very least some offensive rhythm. So that piggybacks off of the last comment. Yep. Yeah, you want to see execution, especially in short yardage situations, Jeff, as well as when they're knocking on the door in the end zone. Now, the coaching staff, you know, they would like a balance because ideally they want to give these kickers opportunities, just like it worked out with the last game. Yep. They each got 2 opportunities. At the same time, though, you want to see this team improve on the one statistical area that I think really jumped out last year on offense, was you got to the red zone, but more often than not, you didn't punch it in.
Most teams, not all teams, script the first 15 plays, okay, and they don't veer from it. So, you know, they're going to, on second down, that's sometimes why you question yourself, if it's second down and 3, why did we just throw the ball? Because they have the 15 plays scripted. And so they do that for a couple reasons. Number one, the most important reason is because they want the players to know the first 15 plays like the back of their hand. Okay, now, again, if it's the first 15 plays and it's 4th and inches and I have a go route scheduled, we're probably going to switch it up a little bit. But for the most part, those first 15 plays are for study purposes. The guys know the first plays that are going to be happening. So that's kind of, you know, you want to see some rhythm in that drive, because easily if you get the kickoff, it's a touchback, you're on the 25-yard line and you're going to go, you're going to eclipse probably 12, 13, 14 plays in that drive to be able to go down and score. So that is very important to the coaching staff and to the players to get a good rhythm. I think you want to see that tonight with the first team offense, whether it's the first drive of the game after a kickoff, if they're getting the ball first, or if the defense goes out there and stops them and then you come through and try to go down and get a scoring drive, regardless of where it comes from. If it's from the 50 going in or from the 25 going all the way down, it'll see some consistency, get that running game going, and get the game, come out with a score. I agree with that. Was that a tweet? That was a tweet.
That was a tweet, yeah.
I like that.
Some commentary. We do like the tweets. Hashtag Giants chat. We will continue to peruse that. We'll get to more of your phone calls as we continue Big Blue Kickoff Live throughout the remainder of the week. We'll be back up and running tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, full recap of preseason game number 2. And a reminder, we'll have our Giants Radio Network pregame show starting this evening on WFAN in New York. And that will start at 7.05 p.m. Eastern. Kickoff will be an hour later at 8.05. We'll have full postgame coverage on WFAN following the contest as well. So we hope that you'll tune into that, as we will continue to break down each and every angle and element of Giants-Browns preseason game number 2. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.